Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to today's half-year results call. During this call, all lines will be on listen-only mode with questions after the presentation. You may queue for a question by pressing zero then one on your telephone keypad anytime. As a reminder, this is being recorded today. I'd like now to hand over to Managing Director, Mr. Tim Collyer. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and welcome to the Growthpoint Properties Australia half-year results for the six months ended 31st of December 2014. Good morning to those of you in South Africa, and good afternoon to those of you in Australia. Hopefully, we have some other investors and interested parties around the globe. We'll run through the presentation this afternoon. Firstly, we'll go to slide five, which is the highlights. In regard to our property portfolio, we had significant leasing success, leasing 23,700 sq m with an average lease term of 5.7 years. Two industrial properties were re-leased to the existing tenants. As at the 31st of December 2014, we have an attractive weighted average lease expiry or WALE of 6.5 years. Importantly, we have 98% occupancy. Property valuations increased 4.5% in the six months, so a strong gain, with capitalization rates lowering and property values increasing, particularly in our portfolio, where longer leases have been negotiated. Our general view is that cap rates will remain firm and at lower rates than they have experienced over the past 12 months, principally as interest rates in Australia remain low, bond rates remain at historic low rates, and of course, there's room for further rate cuts in the coming 12 months, depending on our economic growth. Net property income was 0.6% higher in calendar year 2014 relative to calendar year 2013 on a like-to-like basis. That was affected by the vacancy at Abbots Row in Dandenong, and we hope to have some news on that particular property over the next day or so. A lower rent for the Westpac property upon renewal and amortization of incentives for new leases. In regard to property acquisitions and disposals, we disposed of an industrial property to the existing tenant, ARB, a property in Kilsyth for 18 million dollars. Just before Christmas, we contracted the acquisition of land and development fund through of a suburban office building in Melbourne from joint developers Australand and CIP for 62.6 million dollars. Financially, for the half year, the NTA per security increased 7.4% to 2.32 dollars, substantially on the back of increased property valuations. Our returns on the share market were strong at 19.9% for the 12 months ended 31st of December 2014. Similarly, a good return on equity of 19.2% over the same period. Strong balance sheet returns as well. Moody's have issued Growthpoint a Baa2 rating on senior secured debt, and we intend to access the debt capital markets in the short term. Our balance sheet gearing is 36.7%. It's at its lowest level in our history here in Australia at Growthpoint. The board has revised the target range to 35%-45%, from 40%-45%. Really, our lower gearing is a result of increased property valuations, but more particularly, our capital management strategy of raising equity and incrementally bringing down gearing as we've acquired properties over the past couple of years, and also having the distribution reinvestment plan turned on every six months. That's been a deliberate strategy to reduce our gearing levels. Our strategy and performance. In regard to the half year, GOZ was included in the S&P/ASX 300, and Aaron will talk a bit further about prospects for 200 in index inclusion. The half year distribution is 9.8 cents per security, and full year guidance is at 19.8 cents versus distributable income guidance of at least 20.6 cents per security. Our prior range at the start of the year, when we came out with our guidance, was 20.3 to 20.6 cents, so we have upgraded that to at least 20.6 cents per security. Going forward, there are growth opportunities in the market, and despite lower property yields, I think we have bought well over the couple of past few years, and we are concentrating on yield. We still see there's opportunities here, and of course, our cost of capital has been lowered significantly, both equity and debt. So we're confident about growing the business going forward. I'd like to now hand over to Michael Green, Head of Property here at Growthpoint.
Thank you, Tim. Moving to slide 7. Slide 7 provides an overview of the key property portfolio metrics at the end of the half year. As at the end of the last financial year, the portfolio consists of 51 assets. However, this includes the disposal of 42 Garden Street Kilsyth for $19 million, which Tim mentioned earlier, to the tenant ARB, and the acquisition of 211 Wellington Road, Mulgrave, which I'll discuss in more detail on slide 10. The key takeaway points from the table include a positive movement in valuations over the half year of 4.5%, representing an increase of $95.2 million, which has contributed solely to the NTA growth, which Dion Andrews, our Chief Financial Officer, will discuss further in his section. The growth in valuations was underpinned by solid leasing results across the portfolio and a buoyant domestic acquisition market, creating yield compression. The portfolio occupancy remains high at 98%, and the weighted average lease expiry is an impressive 6.5 years, which is reduced by only 0.1 of a year since the same time 12 months ago. The average age of the portfolio is 7.8 years, which enables the group to maintain the portfolio with moderate levels of capital expenditure, which in turn supports our current payout ratio of 96%. Turning now to slide 8. Slide 8 focuses in more detail on the half-year valuation results, particularly highlighting the strong increases of the CB1 building in South Brisbane, the SW1 car park, and 12 to 16 Butler Boulevard, Adelaide Airport, where we've seen increases of 7.5%, 37%, and 12.6% respectively. These strong increases were a result of leasing successes had during the year, particularly with the renewal to both secure parking at the SW1 car park, where we extended the lease by 5 years there and increased the rent, and also 12 to 16 Butler Boulevard, Adelaide Airport, where we increased the lease by another 5 years out from its current lease expiry, which was to be in November 2015. The weighted average capitalisation rate across the portfolio is now 7.6%, which is down from 7.9% at 30 June and down from 8.2% in December 2013. Turning to slide 9. Slide 9 shows another strong half of leasing in the Brisbane office market, with 3,554 square metres leased. The office portfolio weighted average lease expiry is now 6.2 years, which is up from 5.6 years 12 months ago. So it's been a pleasing year of good results within our different leasing markets. We've also managed to negotiate two lease renewals within the industrial portfolio ahead of their potential lease expiries. These included 670 MacArthur Avenue, Pinkenba, where we extended the lease to Reliance Worldwide, 5 years, and the previously mentioned 12 to 16 Butler Boulevard Adelaide Airport lease, which we extended to the group chief as chips for a 5-year term from November 15. We've now reduced the lease expiry risk from 5% to 3% in financial year 15, and it's down from 4% to 3% in financial year 16. But as always, we remain vigilant on whatever lease expiries we do have coming up, and we spend a lot of time talking to our various tenants, attempting to renew them where we can, and where we know they're vacating the properties earlier, we make sure that they're included in active leasing campaign. Moving to slide 10, slide 10 provides a summary of our recently announced office fund-through acquisition at 211 Wellington Road, Mulgrave. The 12,718 square metre office building is currently under construction and is expected to be completed in early 2016. The property is 60% leased to Monash University, with the remainder covered under a 5-year rent guarantee from the developer Australand and Commercial Industrial Property Group. Growthpoint will receive a 7.25% coupon on all the monies paid until the completion of the building, and taking into account the structure of the transaction, the initial yield will be the equivalent of 8.13% from completion. This is due to the fund-through nature of the transaction, where we buy the land up front and then enter into an agreement to fund through the remainder of the construction cost. The fund-through structure is one that Growthpoint have had success with previously, and including this transaction, we've constructed circa $310 million of property, both in the office and industrial sections. This form of transaction provides the group with new, well-leased assets with minimal leasing or capital expenditure risk in the short to medium term, and gives us good access to green credentialed buildings, which are well-tenanted. Moving to slide 11. The case study demonstrates the results of the group's willingness to back its asset management skills and to drive strong leasing and valuation results for its acquisitions. The ownership of the other two office towers within the SW1 complex gave us an intimate knowledge of the market rent and underlying demand for the SW1 precinct. So we were confident when the two C-series assets came to market in late 2011 that we knew that we'd be able to release any vacant space upcoming at higher rents than passing, and we'd be able to negotiate with the sitting tenants and improve the rental environment there. Since the acquisition of the two towers, we've undertaken numerous leasing transactions with both new and sitting tenants. We've increased the budget from $488 to $547 per square metre in the CB1 building, and from $463 to $568 per square metre in the CP2 building. Weighted average lease expiries of both buildings have increased considerably, and we've seen significant valuation growth of $10 million at the CP1 building and $13 million at the CP2 building. So that's a very strong result for us, and we're very proud of it. In summary, on slide 12, we're very happy with the condition that the portfolio is in at the moment. We've extended both the office WALE. Our weighted average lease expiry of 6.5 years gives us good protection against any of the demands of the leasing market at the moment. We've got strong rental growth going through our income, and we're working hard on any near-term vacancies that will be coming up in the future. We've made a number of acquisitions over the last 18 months, which we believe have strengthened the portfolio. These are obviously including our Parramatta acquisition, where we've seen strong individual valuation growth of that asset, where we purchased it for $241.1 million, and within 6 months it was valued closer to $255 million. So that's a good sign for that market. We've done a lot of leasing over the last 18 months, but we remain very focused on that, and that's really where the property group spends a lot of its energy, speaking to its tenants, making sure they're close to them, understanding their demands, and ensuring that the properties are well-maintained, modern. We've improved the average neighbours rating across our portfolio, and we continue to work hard to ensure that the properties appeal to a wide variety of tenants. We continue to look at each of the different development opportunities within the portfolio, and we hope to have some more momentum on a number of those in the next 6 months. I'll now hand over to Dion Andrews, our Chief Financial Officer, to go through the financial results.
Thanks, Michael. Turning now to slide 14, which provides a summary of our financial results for the half. Statutory profit was $142 million for the period, up 123% from the prior corresponding period, with the increase largely due to strong property revaluations in the half, as Michael has discussed, along with accretion from properties acquired during calendar year 2014 and a reduction in debt costs. This has translated into distributions of 9.8 cents per security for the half, up 4.3% from the prior corresponding period, with a slightly higher payout ratio of 96.3%. The calendar year interest cover ratio was 3.5 times, with a strong increase from the prior year being related to both falling debt costs and increased net property income. This measure is expected to increase further as the full effect of decreased debt margins flow through the P&L, meaning lower debt costs going forward. I'll discuss the other key points of our financial performance, being the increase in NTA per security, the reduction in balance sheet gearing, and the maintenance of the management expense ratio in detail on the coming slides. On the whole, an excellent half-year result based on rising net property income and the falling debt costs, a situation expected to continue in the near term. Slide 15 shows the components of the 7.4% increase in the net tangible assets per security over the 6 months to 30 June 2014, with the increase mostly attributable to a strong uplift in the value of the property portfolio. Growthpoint's trading price at 31 December of $2.75 represents a 19% premium to NTA per security of $2.32, or if we use Friday's closing price of $2.95, a premium of 27%. With property yields predicted to continue to tighten, we expect further increases to NTA per security in the second half. Turning to slide 16. As can be seen on this chart, Greatpoint has continually decreased its balance sheet gearing and cost of debt over the past 5 years, now sitting at 36.7% and 4.98% respectively. During the period, the group restructured its bank debt facility, extending the maturity and reducing the cost, whilst adding flexibility to issue into the debt capital markets in future. The board has also taken a decision to expand our target gearing range to 35 to 45%. The updated range provides for more operational manoeuvrability, especially in the market where rapidly appreciating property values lead to falling balance sheet gearing. Management still believe the portfolio characteristics, especially the long WALE, support gearing levels of up to 45%, and with debt cheap by historical standards, we expect to fund acquisitions for more debt than equity in the short term. The incremental cost of utilising our debt headroom of $203 million is approximately 3.1% per annum, as line fees are already paid on the headroom. It is still the intention of the group to issue into the debt capital markets using its Moody's rating of Baa2 that was issued in August 2014. In the current environment, we are aiming to lock in long-dated debt at low fixed rates to secure growing distributions for the group into the future. Turning to slide 17, we see the weighted average maturity of our $675 million hedge book now matches the weighted average debt maturity of 3.7 years. During the half, the group extended four interest rate swaps with a face value of $265 million, which decreased the weighted average fixed cost to 3.74% at 31 December, down from 4.06% at 30 June. The group had 82% of debt fixed as of 31 December, and intends to maintain fixed debt within the range of 75 to 100% of total debt, in line with its policies. Turning now to slide 18. Our calendar year operating expenses, divided by the average gross assets over the period, also referred to as management expense ratio or MER, remain stable at 0.4%, still one of the lowest in the sector. We note that our definition of MER captures all operating expenses, excluding interest expense, which is somewhat more conservative definition than certain other entities use, whereby some charges levied on a fund may be excluded from the ratio. Growthpoint is forecasting this ratio to remain stable for the financial year 2015. Calendar year capital expenditure of $6 million represents 0.3% of the average property portfolio value over that period. Our CapEx spending remains relatively low due to the low average age of our properties, meaning less CapEx spend is required. This ratio is expected to edge up a little over the medium term towards 0.5%, but will remain relatively low. On slide 19, we summarise the financial results. And just to reiterate the key highlights from a strong half-year result, we have a half-year distribution guide, half-year distribution guidance of 9.8 cents per security is achieved. Full-year 15 distribution guidance of 19.7 cents per security remains, and distributable income of not less than 20.6 cents per security is forecast to be achieved. Balance sheet gearing has reduced to 36.7%, although the group would like to see this increase by using excess capacity for accretive acquisitions. The group intends to use its Moody's Baa2 rating to issue debt into the capital markets and increase its weighted average tenor. This will add to the strong outcomes achieved in restructuring, repricing, and extending bank debt during the half, with the restructure also bringing Commonwealth Bank into the lending syndicate for the first time to ensure we now source debt from all four majors. I'll now hand over to Aaron Hockley, who will discuss group strategy and performance.
Thanks, Dion. Turning to slide 21, Growthpoint remains focused on increasing distributions to security holders over the medium term. Our acquisitions, leasing, significant debt cost reductions and high level of debt hedging has resulted in an income stream which has grown consistently at over 3% per annum for the last 5 years. We believe that growth through acquisitions will continue to assist in making our equity more attractive to a wider pool of investors and also reducing vacancy risk. We have significantly improved the portfolio over the last 6 years through acquisitions, and whilst the last half only saw us announce a single $63 million acquisition, the acquisition of our largest property, 1 Charles Street, Parramatta, completed on 30 June 2014. Our share price, low cost of debt, and significant debt headroom support acquisitions should opportunities become available. However, we are very cautious about acquisitions in the current environment of subdued tenant demand and heightened buyer demand. As we note several times in our half-year report, we will be very careful not to overpay for assets. The acquisitions we have not made are probably as important as the ones we have completed. Growthpoint has not had any difficulty obtaining equity or debt capital, nor finding accretive transactions. However, we remain focused on Growthpoint's medium-term income stream, and so avoided asset acquisitions that would dilute the overall quality of the portfolio or the security of Growthpoint's income. We have also not acquired assets where the price was above our assessment of fair value. We are a property group first and foremost, and the first question management and the board ask on any acquisition, disposal, leasing or other transaction is, does it stack up from a property perspective? We are very focused on property fundamentals. Growthpoint's business is that of a pure landlord. Although many A-REITs actively pursue non-landlord activities, particularly development and funds management, 100% of our income comes from rent under leases. We underperformed the ASX 300 property index over the year to 31 December 2014 by 6.9%, primarily due to significant increases in security prices of our peers. However, we remain one of the highest yielding A-REITs and have outperformed the index by 7.6% over the last 5 years. In considering an investment in Growthpoint, investors should take into account that Growthpoint is a pure play landlord, without what are generally considered more risky income sources such as development and funds management fees. Whilst we make no comment on our peers' earnings, we do try to encourage investors to compare income streams on a like-for-like basis. Investors should also consider what value should be attributed to owning the manager as well as the property assets. We note that most of the sector is now internally managed, but the number of funds which are not cannot be directly compared to Growthpoint. Being a pure landlord with low and relatively stable operating costs and being highly hedged helps us keep both simple and transparent. Turning to slide 22. Growthpoint was included in the S&P ASX 300 in September 2014. This was a significant milestone for us, albeit a somewhat frustrating one, watching much smaller entities join the index over the last few years. Based on advice from two leading broking houses in Australia, we have now met the requirements for inclusion in the 200 and rank higher than several existing constituents. We were third in line for inclusion on the last rebalance date, so expect to be included at some stage. The next rebalance announcement date for the ASX 200 is on 6 March 2015. The DRP has been in operation since June 2012, and we have had a very high participation rate, averaging over 75%. Our investor base has continued to broaden as total free float has increased. At around $500 million, Growthpoint's free float is now larger than the total market capitalisation of many other AREITs. The broadening of the investor base, the increase in free float and index inclusion has resulted in a shift in the location and type of security holder, and we now have a significant domestic institutional investor base. Nine equity analysts now cover Growthpoint in Australia: UBS, Macquarie, CLSA, Merrill Lynch, NAB, Petra Capital, Morningstar, JP Morgan and BBY. Most coverage commenced in the last 18 months, which has helped us pass an often quoted investment hurdle. A number of domestic institutions had been unable or unwilling to invest in us until gearing was reduced, we were included in the index, we had a five-year track record, our market capitalisation had grown to a relevant figure, and sufficient equity analysts were covering us. All of these hurdles have now been met. Turning to slide 23, you can see that our distributions have been growing steadily over the last 5 years, from 17.1 cents in financial year 11 to the 19.7 cents forecast for this financial year. This represents average growth of 3.8% per annum, and we continue to target 3 to 4% growth in distributions per annum. Our security price hasn't grown as steadily, but it has grown even faster, from $1.93 5 years ago to just under $3 at close today, representing 55% growth or 11% per annum. Turning to slide 24, you can see our comparative returns over the last 1 year and 5 years. As noted previously, Growthpoint did underperform the profit index over the year to 31 December 2014. However, we outperformed over the last 5 years. But as slide 25 shows, and perhaps more importantly, Growthpoint continues to offer one of the highest distribution yields in the sector at over 6.6% compared with the sector and ASX average of around 5%. Investors will note Growthpoint's forward yield is 4.7% above the 10-year government bond rate, Australia's current inflation rate of around 2%. Particularly compared with current interest rates, we believe investors will continue to be attracted to Growthpoint's high distribution yield. Finally, on slide 26, Growthpoint continues to build on its five-year track record of significant growth in assets, distributions, security price, and the execution of strategy. We pride ourselves on clearly communicating our strategy to the market and of keeping to this announced strategy. Growthpoint has offered a steadily increasing distribution stream since inception in 2009 and has one of the highest forecast income yields in the market. Whilst we're still looking for acquisitions, we're also cautious given current market dynamics. I'll now hand back to Tim Collier.
Thanks, Aaron. We'll move to slide 28 and conclude with some comments and our focus for the period ahead. In regard to the property portfolio, we'll be focusing on leasing, particularly upcoming expiries in Brisbane. We're also in discussions with a number of tenants, some large, some small, to potentially bring forward their lease renewals ahead of expiry. So that would be in, you know, the years 16 to 18, generally speaking. We are to review a potential sale of some assets into the strong market with the aim of enhancing the portfolio. In 2015, however, we intend to be net buyers of property assets as we continue to grow the business. Development opportunities in the portfolio will be a focus, so with our existing assets, as well as overseeing the development of the Mulgrave office building due into early 2016. Financial management, we intend to issue into the debt capital markets in 2015. As a reference point, 10-year swap is about 2.9%, so near a historic low. It is a good time to effectively lock in low cost, cheaper debt, relatively cheap debt by historic standards for a long time, and that's the aim of our strategy for 2015. Growthpoint operates a small team and seeks to minimise operating costs in managing the group. Our target operating expenses to gross assets is around 0.4%, one of the lowest cost platforms in the AREIT sector, and we continue to concentrate on that. Strategy and performance. We've spoken about S&P ASX 200 index inclusion. That'll be an automatic thing. There's not a lot we can do about that. It either happens or it doesn't based on the trading level and the free float. Our focus, of course, is continuing to grow distributions. Everything we do, we relate back to the distribution. How is that affected? How does it affect the growth? How sustainable is that distribution going forward? And finally, we're in a position to acquire assets accretively and benefit from the benefit the group's property portfolio. We currently, as Dion said, have about $200 million of undrawn debt that can be utilised at a very low cost of rate, interest rate. And we're starting to see a fair few opportunities come through in the market, and the market's building into 2015. Before we move to questions, I'd just like to conclude in saying that we're pleased with the results for the half year and the key achievements in building the portfolio and the business here in Australia. Growthpoint, we're in a very good position with respect to our property portfolio, our balance sheet, access to capital markets, a reduced cost of capital, and of course access through the markets, through agents, through investment banks, through vendors, through developers, to growth opportunities. So management and the board are definitely enthusiastic about the business, and of course 2015 we believe should be a good year for the group. So thank you, and I'll hand back for question time.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question, please press 0 then 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. That is 0 then 1 on your telephone keypad. And our first question comes from the line of Jonathan Kriska from Petro Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi guys. Just want to get a bit of an update on the redevelopment opportunities that you talked about the last week. All right.
Sure. I'll start with the opportunity at Burnley, which is where we hold the GE headquarters building, where we previously flagged that we had an opportunity to build potentially two towers of approximately 18,000 square metres of new office space there. The permit is still pending with the planning department. We've had a change of government here at a state level, and unfortunately the planning minister had a heart attack shortly after taking his position, so there haven't been a whole lot of approvals going through the department in the last 3 months, but we understand from our conversations with people within the department that we should have approval for our development imminently, and then it will be driven on a pre-commitment basis. So that's the largest of the office developments. As far as the Woolworths property expansions, which we've mentioned previously due to the low site coverage of each of those assets, we continue to work with Woolworths. We meet with them very frequently, and that will be demand-led by Woolworths, and it will be on a sort of arm's-length basis. We have a couple of other contractual abilities for tenants to expand their sites within leases, and as of yet, they haven't called on those within the industrial properties.
Probably the other one, too, is the Mulgrave property, where we have a large Woolworths distribution centre. That property is 19 hectares, and it adjoins the Mirvac AFL-VFL residential estate. So we believe, and we've had inquiries from others in the market who also believe, that over the long term, that site would be appropriate for residential housing, consistent with the style and type that Mirvac has next door, so it'd be a medium density townhouse type development. So that's the residential potential of that site long term is quite good, one would think.
Great. And in the past you've mentioned an interest to look at the retail sector. Just wondering if you're any closer to that.
We watch the retail sector. We haven't, so to speak, put our foot in the water as yet. We're still reviewing it. We believe that the retail landscape in Australia has yet to kick, and consumer confidence is not quite there. We do know good prices being paid for retail centres, but we still see that, generally speaking, there is some risk to the income profile. We will enter, and I think we've also said previously that the time to enter the retail market is where we have a substantial portfolio, a substantial business, and our cost of capital is as low as we can, you know, get it in the foreseeable future, which enables us a fair bit of firepower to acquire and to acquire the best quality centres. So it's still our strategy to diversify into retail, but we haven't progressed that any further. We do keep our eye on the market for larger property portfolios. So if a large, significant portfolio came up, we would look at it, but we're not going out into the market and buying a shopping centre here for $50 million, one there for $100 million, and slowly building it as we have done with the office diversification.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you for the question. Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, if you do have a question, please press 0 then 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from James Templeton from Amira Properties Fund. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for the presentation. Just a bit of guidance, please, for FY16 numbers. You've stated the historic growth and distributions from Growthpoint. You've stated that you're targeting further growth. I know it's difficult, and there's certain things limiting your ability to talk about this, but guidance for FY16 DPS growth, especially considering the expiries and the renewals that, and the leasing that you're having to do in your Brisbane office market, please.
Sure, it always is difficult going forward into that next year. I think it's fair to say that obviously provide guidance closer to the start of the financial year 16 after making our budgets and our deliberations with the board. But I think it would be fair to say that at 3-4% growth rate in the distribution, we think. Not set too high or too low. We think it's a reasonable growth rate, and we would, all things being equal, we would be targeting our activities, whether they be, leasing and refinancing or asset purchases or what have you, tailoring those activities to achieve that 3-4% growth.
Thanks, Tim. Can you elaborate on the leasing in some of your buildings in Brisbane? You've talked about the buildings in South Brisbane, but 333 Ann, for example, comes to mind. How's that going?
Yeah, sure. So we leased one floor in 333 Ann during the half, so that was level 8. So currently we have 2 vacant floors within the building. And what we've seen actually since going back from the Christmas period is a definite increase in momentum of inspections and inquiry on the asset. We obviously clearly need these to translate into leasing deals, but we're buoyed by the fact that we're getting more interest and more requests for proposals, etc., than we've had over the previous 6 months. So hopefully we have a better 6 months this year. We do have some
tenants vacating the property at the end of the financial year, so we will have some floors coming back to us there, and they're already subject to the leasing campaign. So any brief that comes to market, which is in excess of the two floors that we have presently vacant, we're still submitting on, given the fact that we will have the ability to lease several floors contiguously in the second half of the calendar year. So down in South Brisbane, we had 1,000 square metres come back to us in the A4 building in September. We've leased a bit over 600 of that to Elders, a large rural listed group, and we've got the remaining 300 currently for lease. We'll then have another two floors coming back to us in September in 2015, which will be when McMahon vacates, and they're subject to current leasing campaign at the moment, and you know, we're hopeful that we'll have some results on that as quickly as we did with the Elders, proving not much downtime at all. I think it was only 2.5 months downtime for that floor previously.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you for the question. And our next question comes from Peter Cashmore from NAB. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. A couple of things, if I may. On the cost of debt of 3.1 versus your cost of equity tonight at $3 or 6.9, can I think about it that you would, I'm guessing here, about 140 mil of undrawn after we X out Monash? Would you be prepared to run the gearing up knowing that your fully underwritten DRP would be leveraged? Is that how you want to think about that? And secondly, on the DCM proposal for a note, how does the secured debt piece work? What percentage would you put aside of your book to be secured for that issue?
Okay, thanks, Peter. Certainly, as I said previously, with our gearing where it is at the moment, we are looking to use certainly more debt than equity for acquisitions going forward. We do have the DRP switched on, or we did for December, so that's raising approximately $42 million in equity. To go towards the 211 Wellington Road, so that's two-thirds of the cost of that building secured by that DRP. We obviously look at each distribution as it comes up and our requirement for equity at the time. We have had it switched on for a number of periods now, and we're likely to do so should we have a need for that equity, but it's a decision that we take closer to the time. But you're right, if gearing were to increase a little bit, half because we made acquisitions and we wanted to reduce some of that gearing by the DRP, that is certainly an option with the strong support we've been having for it.
Mm-hmm.
The second question regarding the note, we have a common terms deed for our debt, which means that all the properties are secured by a common terms deed, or currently are. We do have the ability to have some properties set outside that, but currently all properties are within. So a medium-term note would join that common security pool via an intercreditor deed, essentially, with the common terms agent. So all the properties would be securing that note as well as the banking syndicate.
Gotcha. Thank you for that.
And thank you for the question. Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, if you do have a question, please press 0 then 1 on your telephone keypad. And it seems we have no further questions in the queue. I'd like to hand the call over back to Mr. Collier.
Well, thanks very much, everyone, for listening in. And we do appreciate your interest and support. And as I said before, we're pleased with the results. We've been an ASX-listed company, of course. You've always got to keep on moving and doing your best with everything you do. So we look forward to once again reporting another good result in 6 months' time. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you to our speakers today. Ladies and gentlemen, that ends our teleconference. We do thank you for your attendance. You may now disconnect. Enjoy your afternoon or morning. Thank you very much.